You're listening to the Darius Daniels Podcast.
Well, what's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Darius Daniels Podcast. Each week, we try to bring you conversation on faith, life, and culture for your transformation. We hope it adds value to your life and is a source of edutainment for you. I want you to be educated and entertained at the same time. And today's show, I believe, is going to do just that. We are going there today as we discuss where the money resides. I can't wait for you to experience this episode of the Darius Daniels Podcast coming up right now. Well, what's up, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Darius Daniels Podcast. Chastity Dakari in the building one more time. What's up, y'all? Everybody doing good?
That was good. I like that intro.
You like that? Yeah. I felt like a radio announcer.
Well, I also felt like it was like church, too. It was like, I'm happy to be here one more time.
Really?
In that number.
Yeah. One more time. I thought he was getting ready to start rapping.
No, you actually didn't think that.
he does have on the all black and the beanie today.
He's ready for whatever.
I'm going to catch a flight. Kingdom work.
I'm
going to Maryland today. Well, I mean, not when people are watching this, but I'm going to Maryland tonight to speak. And yes, it's this dope situation where these two pastors are, I don't know if I've ever seen this, two pastors, peak prime in ministry, young, one's in his 30s, one's in his mid-40s, actually merging churches.
Oh, really?
And both of them are churches of thousands of people.
Oh, wow.
And oh, that might be a good
merging churches
look
to make a bigger impact in the DMV. I'm sure it's not unprecedented. I've just never heard of anything like that. I think it's just dope to me.
Yeah. And, have they released the information yet to the people?
Yeah, they have. Oh, okay. So it was this strategic rollout and layout of why they were doing it and how they were doing it. And for the most part, from what I've heard, I mean, I'm not in the trenches and in the weeds. For the most part, what I heard, people are on board with it and excited about it.
So, are people going to be there? Because if so, I mean, that energy getting ready to be crazy.
Yeah, so tonight, they have people there. I think what they did is, like, you had to register and get tickets and all of that. So social distancing. But I think they have a pretty good crowd.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's
shout out to them. That's good. Yeah. That's a win for the kingdom.
Yeah.
That's dope right there. I like that.
Yeah, it's exciting, though. It really is. I think it's dope.
Oh, that's good. That's what's up.
Facts. But, you know, it's weird. You know, we were talking offline about how, so I'm honored to do this, right? But the reason I'm doing this is because of my relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just having a conversation about this, and I'm kind of get y'all thoughts on it. We were just having a conversation about it, and we didn't expound on it a lot. But yo, I feel like now I'm in a season where I want every relationship defined. You know how? You know what I mean? You know how? You know, you have relationships with certain people.
Yeah.
And those relationships are defined. And others, it's like, oh, I'm not quite sure where to put you yet.
Yeah.
I'm in a season right now where everybody in my phone, if you hit my line, I want to know where we are.
I like that.
So I know what kind of investment to make and then what I can expect out of you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, in this season of my life, I want to know who do I get on the plane for and who do I not.
That's it.
Wow.
And it doesn't mean you love anybody.
Yeah. The car, let me think about that one.
Yeah.
Go ahead. But I honestly think in order for us to serve people well in relationships, to steward them properly, you have to know where they fit in your life.
I do. I agree with that.
And it has to be defined.
Yeah.
Because it's like where you're going, you got to know who's around you. And not only who's around you, it's like, all right, are you serving me well or am I serving you well? Like, what does this look like? So for me, I've always kind of like defined, like, okay, why are you here?
Yeah. And you made me think more so about redefining, you know, not just defining, but looking at those that I'm already in communication or somewhat have a connection with and saying, okay, actually, where do you belong now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah, you yeah. were, like, yeah. I heard a pastor say this one time. He said, there are certain people in your life that were once building blocks, but now they're stumbling blocks.
Ooh.
Strong.
Yeah. And he said, you got to make a decision, right? And I was like, yes, I did build with them in one season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now I'm not sure if they can walk with me on this next season.
Yeah, it's really hard because, I mean, if you actually care about people, and I hope everybody who's listening does, you know what I mean? That you actually love people and care about people. Like, yo, you're conscious of, you're sensitive to making sure that you don't treat people like commodities.
Yes.
Like, I just use you and then I toss you and throw you away. Yet at the same time, you do have to, like, recognize when seasons have changed and there's a role that they play for you or a role that you play for them that's just no longer realistic. See, just because you call something, a relationship something, that doesn't make it what it is.
Right.
I mean, matter of fact, that's what I tell people now who may call it, can you be my mentor? Can you be whatever? It's like, no, let's build a relationship first. And then as time progresses, as our relationship evolves, it will become what it's supposed to be.
Yes.
Then we'll call it that.
Yes.
Instead of calling it something and then forcing something. And then down the line, we both feel like this not it.
Yep.
And then, you know, and a lot of times pivots are just hard. People just ghost. Instead of having a conversation, they just ghost.
Because you end up being hurt, especially with that mentor piece. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember once I was in college and a lot of parents in our church would say, can you mentor my son?
Yeah.
I had no idea the weight of what that meant.
Yeah.
Right. And I realized I ended up hurting the kids later on down the line because I wasn't able to be present based on what they thought I should be for them.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, you're like 4 years younger than me. And I'm just trying to go through college. I'm pledging. They didn't understand that, right? Yeah. So you're going through all these different seasons trying to evolve. And it's like, well, I need you here at this. Mm-hmm. I expect for you as my mentor to be at my games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I think we talked a little bit about it. Yeah, the expectations. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I was just having a session with my coach and we were talking through some things. And I think this is Jack Welch. He used to be like the CEO of GE. He had this quote, to be unclear is to be unkind. And so I think even not just the beginning of relationships, but throughout relationships, you got to like be consistently clear with people about what you can and what you can't expect. Because if not, people, you can say the same thing. You can say friend.
Right.
And then they might mean loans. You're like, no, I'm not, that don't mean I give you loans.
Cash out.
That means cash out. It's like you can say the same thing and mean two different things by it. It's
so
really
funny.
Weird. But yo, speaking of relationships, you know, it's been a huge controversy over the past couple of weeks with Lil Nas X.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, and somebody may say, what does it have to do with relationships? Like me, I was wondering, you know, with the release of the shoe and all of that.
Nike.
When I saw it, I'm wondering, okay, who's in his relationship circle?
That's it.
And I don't want to talk about him. On this podcast, we don't talk about individuals. Yeah. We do talk about issues, though.
Yeah.
Right. So we don't gossip, but we do want to add value and we want to give a faith-based perspective to some of these issues. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about that, like, was this anyone in the circle, no matter if it was going to be financially lucrative, in the relationship circle, that's like, let's reconsider this and the implications of this. And,
And you know what I thought about? I know this is vastly different than probably most. I realized I've never actually studied Satan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like as a real thing. Like I've never really
like he doesn't exist in seminary.
Right.
At least the ones we went to.
Yeah.
You know, Vanderbilt, Princeton. I don't know if Satan was ever mentioned.
No.
Yeah.
And somewhat it's a gift and a curse in terms of theology and how you live your life too. Because I know I've been in churches where Satan is like responsible for everything.
Yeah.
And there's no human responsibility.
The sound don't work. Come get out of here.
Right. And there's no human responsibility, right?
Yeah. Don't
put it on me. But I think that for me, I was like, a Satan shoe. I started thinking like, what does it actually mean?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I wasn't even thinking about him and him making money and his relationship with Nike. And Nike came back and said they had nothing to do with it.
They spoke
but I was like, quick. I've never studied Satan. I'm not even sure if that's, like, would we even do that at church? Like, how we study the book of Job, would we actually go through? Is that something that would scare people? Like, if you did, like, the book of Revelation, would you study?
There is a branch of theology, though, demonology. There is a branch that I just think, you know, certain tribes or whatever explore it. But, it's weird. There's harmatiology, which is study of sin. But you're right. I don't think, but it caused a huge uproar. But y'all, you know what bothered me the most? This is what bothered me. And I don't know the answer to this yet. This is what bothered me. What bothered me the most was he said, this was, I'm going to paraphrase it. This was just one of the ways I'm responding to all of the hate y'all been preaching at me for years. Yeah. So that piece, so it didn't bother me that he said it. Mm-hmm. What bothered me is it made me wonder, what has he actually been hearing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yo, you know what I mean? So yeah. I don't want to open up and go down this rabbit trail too much, but it's like, no matter what your struggle is, what have you been hearing mm-hmm. that's giving you the impression that God hates you?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it right there.
Yeah.
And to me, that's problematic. That's right. Yeah. Because I think you can teach unconditional love without saying unconditional approval.
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
And that part was actually kind of sad to me because mm-hmm. I hear a lot of stuff from Christian spaces and I'm like, yeah, unfortunately, you're probably not the only one that feels that way, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that was really kind of... That bothered me a lot as a Christian leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And and the other side of that is going to this social media space. We talked about this before. I guess seeking some sense of validation in the comment sections and mm-hmm. the blogs to get people talking about it. What do you gain, you know, from this audience? What will you get from this space once, you know, are you looking for someone to say, finally somebody spoke up and they're on, you know, mm-hmm. my side. I don't know. I'm not sure what the intentions were.
It's interesting. But they say, I said Nike's suing now, so I don't know how much that can keep. Yeah. So I think they sold out in like minutes. I can't remember the like amount. One, the shoe was incredibly expensive. And I think I did the math. I'm just getting this way in my head. It was like hundreds of thousands of dollars. I think almost $1 million. It was on the upside of $500,000 that they made like in a matter of minutes.
They're suing the person who created the shoe.
Really? Just with those shoes. And I think that's also a good segue into what we're going to talk about today because we're talking about where the money resides.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it's weird because I think like we talk about money and I don't know, what's the saying? All money, not good money?
That's what they say.
That's what they say.
I don't know if y'all agree.
I don't necessarily agree. I think
it matters, though. I think it matters how you make it. I do think it matters how
you get it.
How you make it. I do think it matters what you do with it. But why did y'all say it that way?
Because I was thinking.
No,
like,
I felt something there. Why did you say it that way?
But what is it? Is it the root? What did it say? The root of money? What is
the
it?
The love of money is the root of all evil.
Evil, right? Yeah. But you know what? You know what? I'm going to go with Reverend Ike on this one. Reverend Ike said the lack of money is the root of all evil.
So it's something underneath that. Yeah. Like when you was like, that's what they say. It's something underneath that. Like what's underneath what you said, Dakari? You're feeling something.
No, I'm just saying, when you say all, I look, you know.
I think I get where you're going. Yeah. And we're going to try to talk about that in this interview I just did.
Okay.
Yeah, just
because I think the other side is, I think you're right. Like the danger of inappropriate attachments to money or unethical use of money.
Yes.
Is that's taught and that's screened.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, the catastrophic consequences sometimes are not having enough of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People do not talk about that.
No.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I feel like that may be, I don't know. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
I'm not trying to get in trouble.
That's where you're at.
Let Chastity answer this. So she can get the email.
He answered it perfectly. Yep, he did. I just feel like all money may not be good money to some people, but you never know what people's financial hardships are. You know what I mean? And then aside from that, it's also a preference. So however you get it, it's however you get it. To me, I look at money and wealth and, you know, all those things with a different perspective because I grew up a certain type of way. Like I didn't always have it. You know what I mean? So working toward it and then being able to actually be in a position now to actually get it. And I know I like work hard for it. I don't really have like those negative thoughts. Like I don't worship it, worship money, whatever. Mm-hmm. But we need money to pay bills. We need money to have a lifestyle. We need money to support other people.
And we need money to go on vacation.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Which is true, but yeah. that's an interesting point, right?
I'm just saying, like, I want to not just to pay bills and just to survive, but I want to be able to live a life,
absolutely,
you know, that's fun and enjoyable.
My thing is,
if you
work hard for it,
yeah,
and you know how to invest and you know how to do all of these other things, then why not enjoy the fruits of your labor?
And yeah. And we're givers. I think all of us are. Yeah. Like,
oh man, it's bad. Man,
I've always said the reason why I hadn't even achieved this massive amount of wealth yet is God's like, bro, you're gonna give it all away.
We talk about that all the time.
Like, I just want to help people.
That's it.
You know, it's. Yeah. You know, so.
Well, I think it's important, man. And I think it's important for me. There are two things that happened during the pandemic as a spiritual leader where I said, all right, I'm never backing up off this again in my life. Mm-hmm. As long as I'm in pastoral leadership, I'm not backing up off of this. Wellness and economic empowerment.
Absolutely,
I love it,
man. Yeah.
Because the pandemic
exposed
that. If you didn't have a nest egg, all the principles that the Bible teaches about money. If you weren't like the ant who put something away in the summer.
Man, that's one of my
favorite
stories.
For winter seasons.
Yes.
Like, if you weren't like that, if you weren't a good steward, like the Bible says, a fool and his money soon part.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The rich rule over the poor, the borrower is slave, a servant to the lender. Like, if you didn't put those things into practice, it could have been a troubling year for you.
Mm-hmm.
But it just kind of exposed like the importance of that, the necessity of that. And I really feel like you're right. There's such an emphasis on don't be inappropriately attached to it, which we shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Don't use it unethically, which we shouldn't. But then this other side, it's like, no, but we need it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
We need it. And then especially those that are like, you know, especially, so let's just keep facts, like certain parts of the population, the wealth gap is just astronomical.
It is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I was looking at something I think Anthony O'Neill put out, and it's like the wealth gap. It's
I saw that post too.
Yeah. Astronomical. It affects everything. The quality of healthcare that you get.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mental health.
Schools.
It's the
really
whole
big for schools.
Nine yards. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like, no, people, we shouldn't. I don't want to slide into quote unquote prosperity theology,
mm-hmm.
but there's a difference between prosperity theology and a theology of prospering.
Yes.
And I think that's kind of where we are. And
yep.
We need to get to where the money resides.
Man, I'm excited.
So I had a conversation. I had a conversation with a financial advisor. His name is, and I love him because he's an educator.
Mm-hmm.
His name is George Thompson. He manages millions and millions and millions of dollars. He's a believer. And we really talked about this, not just like getting out of debt, but really what practical steps can we take to multiply and to increase so that we can put ourselves into positions so we can help and protect our families, be generous to those that we love the most, and then also be blessings to other people. So I love this conversation. I think you're going to get a lot out of it. My interview with George Thompson is coming up next right here on the Darius Daniels Podcast. Well, everybody, I'm so excited about this conversation you're about to eavesdrop on. I'm telling you, this is about to be a gem dropping session. So I want you to prepare yourself with whatever apparatus you use to take notes, because you're going to need it today. This episode has the potential to really revolutionize your life. I'm telling you this right now. I've personally experienced the fruit of this guy's genius, his investment in me and in my family. His wisdom is, in my opinion, unparalleled. And he's been the most significant financial voice in my life. And so I am proud to have him for the first time, not the last, on the Darius Daniels Podcast, George Thompson, all the way from Los Angeles, California. What's up, George?
I am so glad to be here. Thank you so much.
Man, listen, I am really, really excited about our conversation. I want to dive right in, but before I do, could you just, your story I think is amazing. Where you came from, how you came to faith, how you've integrated that into this idea of economic empowerment. So just for those who want to know a little bit more about your story, just tell us a little bit about who George Thompson is.
All right. Hey, just really quickly, grew up in the Midwest, grew up in Minnesota. And then I actually played volleyball in college, and I played out at Pepperdine out here. And I started, I was the first African-American to play volleyball. One of the things that I did was I started to started investing when I was in college. And then I started kind of working with things and investments. And then I, after I graduated from college, I started working in the cellular phone industry, believe it or not. And I did that and was pretty, did pretty well at that. But then I started investing and actually teaching investing inside of churches. I started teaching stewardship and how people manage their time, their talent, their treasure. I started teaching that. And then during that time, I said, hey, I want to make my first $1 million by the time I'm 35. And, yeah, it took me until I was 30, 31 to be able to do that. And that was purely in stocks. So I did that through teaching, investing, and things like, and through investing. Then I actually started teaching other people through it. And that was through one of my first books called Millionaires in Training. And I just started teaching that. And I learned how to use my time wisely because I was working. And then also my mother was ill and she lived in Mississippi. And I used to fly 1 week out. I used to take 1 week out of every month and spend time with her.
George, all right,
until
so
she passed.
I hate to interrupt you, but you are just glossing over some minor details like they're not major. So first of all, you started investing in college. Now, I don't know what anyone else was doing when they were in college, but when I was in college, I was getting credit cards.
Right.
And they were giving you the free t-shirts on the campus. I was getting credit cards and getting in debt. What was going on? And this is why I want to pivot in this direction, George, because this is what you did for me when I met you about 15 years ago.
Right.
I think what you did before we started shifting money, you shifted my mind about money.
Right.
You know, I come from Mississippi and a really, really small town. And as a Christian, I don't know what everybody else's experience is, but I really didn't have a healthy theology of money. It was like almost two extremes. It was a poverty gospel or a prosperity gospel. I think something's in the middle and it's prospering, which is not the same, the same thing as prosperity. So there was kind of like a mind shift. You helped me change the way I see money. Now, what was going on in your mind? What made you start investing when you were in college? Like what got you into
actually,
that?
What it was is I saw very wealthy people and I was just trying to figure out how they did it. And then I just started asking them questions. So I was an athlete. So I would sit down and actually talk to donors or just talk to people and I asked them how they did it. And they'd say, oh, I only saw, I do this, I do that. Or I watch people at that time pay people's full tuition and watch people do that. And I said, how do they do that?
Yeah.
And then I would start to read things in the Bible and I would say, let's start matching things up. Like it says, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. But see, Darius, it didn't have a time or a date to it. So I said, let's start putting times and dates to things. Mm-hmm. And then in Jeremiah 29:11 says, God has a plan, a purpose for your life, plans of hope and a future. But how do we actually begin to work this out? And then the best, I've written five books, but the best financial book in the world is the Bible.
Wow.
The Bible has over 2,000 scriptures that mention finances. If you, as you know, the parables of the Bible, Minister Major, they also involve possession. Mm-hmm. So if you look at people in the Bible, you look at how wealthy David, how wealthy Solomon was, and how, oh gosh, I've done one on Joseph, like how they've done things. Mm-hmm. But they've done it by putting God first and by following him, and by going through the process. And it's interesting, you said how we change your mind. If you look at mind, M-I-N-D, to be successful, first of all, it's money. The second thing is the I stands for intelligence. You have to start intelligently doing things. And then the N is you have to need. You have to have a need to want to be financially successful. And then the D stands for discipline. So that's actually how everyone shifts their mind.
Okay, one more time for my mind. give us that acronym again, because I want to pivot. I want to get deeper. Give it to us one more time.
Money.
Uh-huh.
The M stands for money.
Yes.
See, we all have money. We just have to learn how we're going to manage it. Mm-hmm. Everybody, whether you're hopefully if you're driving or if you're watching, you hold up three fingers. There's three things you can do whenever you make money. The first thing is you can spend it. The second thing you do is lend it. That means put it in a bank. Banks are paying no interest right now. The third thing you do is own something. So right now, let's take an inventory right now. Whenever you make money, how much of it goes towards you spending it? How much of it goes into the bank? And how much of it goes towards you ownership? You should be owning things. So when that's why you go out and you spend things and you go out and you own things.
Yeah.
Actually, even on a funny level, I'll tell you later, is that I've actually never bought Christmas presents or birthday presents or anything for my kids until this year. I've always bought them stocks in companies or I buy them real estate. So I don't spend money on my kids. I invest in them. Like, so one day my wife said, hey, we want to wrap gifts for him. My son said, like, wrap it. He liked open up gifts. So I wrapped up his karate uniform. I wrapped him a basketball. So you asked me to say the amps. Let's go through them. Well, let's go, Darius. I stands for intelligence. The N stands for need. You got a need. There has to be a need. Mm-hmm. If you don't have there has to be a why. And the D stands for discipline. That's usually where people fall off a lot in that area. So we have to create a system that shows people how to be successful in their finances.
No, incredible, incredible. So the way you frame this is, I think, really important. And I really want us to dig in here because it was really, really helpful for me. And I'm not saying everyone who is watching this or listening to this has the same struggles that I have in terms of that I had an unhealthy theology or ideology of money if you aren't religious. So here is where I really like for you to lean in. So for me, I've been talking a lot about this to my team and to our congregation of the church I lead. Like, I've really been leaning into this issue of economic empowerment because my why has been, I'm observing the plight of urban communities and seeing those of us who serve them have to go to, I mean, the private sector primarily. I mean, we've been waiting on the government for years. That isn't going to happen. Go to the private sector. And asking people who may not be attached to, invested in, aware of what's going on in the communities to actually help remedy some of these issues and change some things and turn things around. It's like, man, what would it be like for those of us who are aware, who are invested to be in a position to remedy some of those things? So this conversation, it's about wealth building. We want to empower people to build wealth so that they can make a difference with the wealth. 100%, no apologies about that. So with that being the case, I kind of want to,
Darius, can I answer one of your questions? Sure. Something right now that you said, because it's just very incredible. So you're saying that we're waiting for the government. Everybody saw the government were trying to do, I'm going to use the term they use, stimulus packages. Mm-hmm. Those are not stimulus packages. Mm-hmm. Those are relief packages. Our economy came to a screeching halt. Mm-hmm. They're not coming back now. So now those are stimulus. They're trying to stimulate a body. Like, you know, like how a body's laying on the ground. They're trying to like this, clear, bam. They're trying to do that. No, these are relief for businesses, for different areas and doing this. But for us to have economic empowerment, we actually have to do it ourselves. You're right. Waiting on the government, the public sector, because we already, and this is the other thing, we already have it.
Good.
So we have to just, first of all, look at what level we're at. Mm-hmm. I just want to show a real quick slide. And for those of you who don't do it, see, let's look at what level everybody's at. Everybody's at one of five levels. One of how many, everybody? One of five levels.
Five levels.
The first level is struggling and sinking. That means you have the inability to pay your current bills. Mm. Then the next level is steady. You have just enough to pay your bills. But there's, if some snap, crackles, or pops, then you fall down and struggle. I'm going to come back to that. Then they're solid. That means you've been working somewhere for a while, putting in your 401k, doing pretty well. Mm-hmm. And then above that is surplus. Quite simply, that's extra money.
Yes.
And you're doing it. And then the highest level service, where you're not concerned with finance, you do whatever God puts you on this earth to do.
Great.
So what you want to do is find out what level that you're at. And then what you do is, I put this light up here on there and we're showing to you. So if you're driving, just keep driving, but do it. So struggling, steady, solid, surplus, service.
Good.
Find out what level you're at. And then what I spend my time on is getting you to the next level.
Good.
And that's what has to be done. And then you said something very key. You said, waiting on the government, waiting this, and we're saying, how do we do economic empowerment? Actually, the best economic empowerment plan is actually done by God.
Great.
God says in his word. So first of all, we start with this. Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness therein and all that dwell within. That means we belong to God. Mm-hmm. Then it says in Philippians 4:19, it says, my God. Now you have to tell them about my God. That mm-hmm. means that everyone take it internally.
Sure.
Shall supply all of my needs. But this is the part that people leave out. According to his riches and glory. You see, because what we're doing now is we're waiting on the government, we're waiting on the city, we're waiting on something to happen mm-hmm. for someone to give something to us.
Yeah.
God is not. When it says God shall supply all our needs according to his riches and glory, that means that he has a chest and he has behind him a vault that's actually full of money. He's not waiting. It's full of money, opportunity, and resources. Mm. And we can talk about that.
Yeah.
But you see, we're not waiting on something. God's not waiting on something. He already has it. But he's going to bless us based on our ability and how we utilize and how good of a steward we are and how we manage the gift that he's given us.
1,000%. And listen, I feel like you're one of the best at this. Like I said, I met you in my mid-20s, and you've been you've been really, really intentional and generous in terms of the way you serve my family and I. So I know what it is to really take some of these biblically based principles, apply them in your life, and see the fruit of them. So let's talk about this, because there are people that are listening and they want to know. All right, I want to get to that next level. I want to start wealth building. George, tell me what to do.
Okay, first thing is this. The first thing you want to do in order for you to get to do wealth building is get something called spending control. I didn't say budget, because you can get mad. So you have to control your spending. In other words, you don't spend more than what you make and what you do. Mm-hmm. So the first thing you do is you control spending. Now I'm gonna get to the you know, meat here in a minute, but you gotta control that first.
Okay.
If your credit cards or your bills are so much, you don't have an extra couple hundred dollars, it don't do no good for us to talk about investing. Now, I'm warning everybody. When I talk about investing, I'm going to get excited. I'm going to talk fast, too. It's not I'm trying to get anything past you. It's I get so excited, yeah. Okay? So the first thing we have to do is spending control. You got to control what you're spending. All right, and the second is you got to do good. Everybody, how do you spell good? G-O-O-D. Get out of debt.
Yes.
I'm going to say it again. He didn't ask me to, but I'm going to say it again. I'm going to act like I'm preaching. Okay. It's good. It's get out of debt. You got to control our debt. Probably one of the most freeing things that I had is I live out here in Los Angeles, California, is paying off our home. And that frees up something called cash flow. Mm-hmm. So you want to control debt, but then also build wealth at the same time. Mm-hmm. So then you have what's called an asset. Everyone, there's something called a liability. A liability is a debt, and there's something else called an asset. An asset grows. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above. So what happens is God is blessing you. And then what happens is he blesses you to be a blessing. So you want to get a blessing, and then it just goes away. Mm-hmm. So what you want to do is you want to do wealth building. Then after the second thing, so where I went over first is that we do spending control. Second is we do debt. This is the recipe. I'm giving the whole recipe, man. Third is that you want to do something called savesting. Before you say, George, what is savesting? What's that word? Isn't it in the dictionary? I made that word up. It's saving and investing at the same time. Saving in the bank does not work. So you have to invest your money, and then you're going to start doing things. So just think about now all the things that you spend money on, like, and all the things that you do. If you're on Facebook, look at those. Those are companies. So by the way, not getting off stock, I'm just giving you examples of things. We did a financial fast. You know, Amazon just released earnings. They made $100 billion over the last quarter. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you understand there's companies that you utilize on a daily basis. You ought to be writing them down, or whatever you said, apparatus, write them down, know what, and then also I can help you with that as far as investing in companies. But also through this pandemic, there's also been opportunities to invest in companies that you want to use it. Now, I'm not going to mention no names other than you Netflix and chill. I'm not going to mention no names other than people do Zoom done Zoom. I'm not going to mention no stock quotes though today, but I just want to let you know, just think about some companies that you use. I'm sorry, am I talking too fast?
No.
All right. Number three is save vesting. And then number four is you have to build a wealth machine. So you want to build a machine that you can run that is creating income. So I'm going to pick on you, Darius. Like, if you have books, you have income, royalties, different things.
Sure.
You want to come from the north, south, east, and the west. Mm-hmm. And now's a really good opportunity to be able to do it. And if you want to, right here, I'm putting up a slide that walks through that. Four stages of financial growth. So number one was spending control. Nobody wanted to listen to that, but that is key. All right. Debt elimination. It says debt elimination, but I call it cash flow. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how you really flow. And then save investing. You guys, that's saving and investing. The mind shift today, but certainly don't want you to walk away. One is every time you spend any money, you're investing in it. But then my question is, what's your return?
Yeah.
Got me, this is my first year because of small businesses, and I see what's happening with small businesses. I went out and had my kids go out and buy toys, and we went out and we did this. For them, I let them buy toys, and I let them buy ones for their friends from school and mail them to them. And then we also have some people here at our church. We wanted to bless them with toys, mm-hmm. and my kids picked them out. And but other than that, we did that. But then I told them we're investing. And then that number four is building a wealth machine. That's Darius. I'm sorry, I have to come back and talk about that. You guys build something that you can pass on, because what that really is that's building generational wealth.
Okay, George, let's pause right there. Yes. I want us to lean into number four for just a minute, okay? Because I think that's also where listeners are probably wondering, okay, can we dig a little deeper here and get some, you know, practical next steps in terms of what that looks like? Now, there's something I want to throw out too that I think is really important when it comes to like building a wealth building machine. And that is, right, increasing your acumen in an area. So this is something I don't know if people, you want to get good at something, right? So like you mentioned like, okay, books, and, you know, write books. It's like, okay, you want to write a book, but first of all, you want to have something to say. So I feel like that's a piece, like when it comes to a lot of the motivational talk that's out in kind of the atmosphere now about wealth building, there is very little talk about the importance of being excellent at something and putting in the work to develop a skill that becomes, the skill becomes a stream that creates other streams from that skill. And it's, you know, and I don't think anybody was born, this is where I am theologically, I don't believe that anybody was born without some degree of genius somewhere. You just got to tap into it, put the work in, and develop it. So, like, I'm a communicator. I talk.
Right.
But I've been memorizing a word from the dictionary. I hadn't done it much recently. But I was memorizing one word 8 weeks from the dictionary, George, every week since I was 19. So it's like, I just didn't get up all of a sudden. And because I pray a lot, I could speak. It's because since I was 19 years old, I was reading my Bible during my devotional time, and I was memorizing a word from the dictionary once a week. I've got a bin, two bins somewhere. I don't even know where they are. Two or three huge tubs filled with, George, you remember these, VCR tapes. Cassette tapes,
cassettes,
and CDs of communicators that I would listen to and learn and hone my craft. And I would speak in the car and speak to myself and speak out in the woods in Mississippi. So, you know, you invest, et cetera, but you're good at it. You took the time to get good at it. And I just wanted to kind of throw that out there before you get a little more practical with this, because I think that's something that people really skip over from time to time.
But what you said is very key. And also, just so you know, whoever told you to start studying one word a week, that's actually how you become a genius, is that you start to do that after 365 days. Like, you start to learn it because it's not only the word that you're learning, it's the words around the words. Mm-hmm. And that is awesome. That is awesome that you did that. And that's something that I'm starting actually with my kids and doing that.
Yeah.
And because that's why people, and also that's why it's so valuable what you do. Darius, is because people see the stuff and they make it look easier. They see how I buy properties and they see how it looks easy, or they see how I buy stocks. It looks easy, but actually there's a lot of work behind it.
Yeah.
So you have to put in the work. So one of the things is also, as you're looking out there and everyone who here are these experts, one of the challenges I have is that there's people out here that are relationships experts and they've never been married. And you got these workout people who've never been, you know what I mean? I can turn the camera on, but when you get a gold medal, like I played on, you know, when you get a gold medal, the only way to get those are you got to defeat a champion, you got to outlast everybody, or you got to come in first place.
Yeah.
And there's people that are saying how to do these things, but they actually haven't done it.
Great.
So that's one of the things is you want to work with people that are saying to invest, but they've never invested or they're doing this. That's why I make sure you go through the process. And there's a steps. Remember the struggling, sinking, steady, solid, surplus of it. You're going to the one step, to the next step, to the next step, to the next step.
Yeah.
But also something you said very key about building a wealth machine is this. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 and 10 that we're uniquely made. Mm-hmm. And when you become saved, there's a special gift. There's something special about you that there's no one else in the world like that. Mm-hmm. I'm a twin. And I have twins, and we all have different fingerprints, but we all have the same DNA. Mm-hmm. There, you have DNA, but there's something special about you. And what we want to do is use that to glorify the kingdom.
Yes.
And then you'll be blessed.
Yeah.
That's the order.
Yeah.
Can I have an amen, somebody?
So that's it. That's a spot on. So let's lean into that a little bit more, right? Okay. So it's, you've got the skill or whatever that you're doing that's trying to produce that, in hopefully in some way, that people are going to have, and this is a whole nother thing, right? That that people should value. Like, if you got something, you're adding value to people, people should value for that. Value you for that, if that makes sense. Like, the, that should be
And that means pay, right?
Yeah, value 100%, yes.
Thank you, all right. So we'll translate that.
Yeah, right, that makes sense, yeah. Right. So, if you're adding value, yeah, people should value that, and the value, yeah, it's compensation. So here's the thing. So when people kind of find their niche, the thing that they can do to kind of create income or maybe a little extra, talk to us about what are some of the things we can do with the stream when it actually comes in. I mean, unless somebody might say, George, I got an extra $1,000.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, what can I do with this?
So one of the things that we do is remember we talked earlier about spending control. Mm-hmm. So when you make money, one of the first things you want to do is that we have a certain amount that we're going to save for an emergency, but then also we're going to start investing it. So then we're going to start putting it into, typically we have a retirement account. There's something called a 401k if it's a for-profit company, mm-hmm. 403b if it's a nonprofit. If you haven't heard of any of those, there's something called the IRA, which is a retirement account. Mm-hmm. And start planning for your retirement. And then also just a regular brokerage account, start investing. And this is the key. If you said $1,000 a month, that means put in monthly. So just so you guys know, if you don't follow the market, stock market, real estate market, bond market, it goes up and down every day. Mm-hmm. So what happens is there are times when the market goes lower. You know, you said gyms. I'm just want to let everybody know, here comes a gym. It's coming. Here comes a fast pitch. This is a gym. It's coming. All you have to do is catch it. So what happens is the market goes up and down all the time. It goes up and then it goes down. Then there'll be new certain things will happen. So what will happen is when the market goes down, what do you think we do? Do we buy? Do we keep what we have, or do we sell when the market goes down? Well, I'll just give you a little hint. Here comes a gem. Buy low, sell high.
Good.
So actually when the markets go down and we own high quality companies and different things, that's actually when we take the time to invest. So what we do is people say, George, when's a good time? You haven't asked me this, but when's a good time to invest? All the time. Mm-hmm. If you're buying quality and you're doing it, that's why when I have a very specific portfolio and then you want to have that, but then you want to continue to be able to invest. And then that's how you do it. Then I got to throw in one more thing since we're giving out gems.
And George, that's 1,000% true. I got burned like that recently. I jumped on one of the vaccine companies too late. You know, right. I jumped on board too late. I had to jump off too.
Right. So can I give you another thing? And then have a strategy. You see, like the vaccine is this. So there's something else. Gosh, I'm giving the gems are just coming, dude. Also, there's something called diversification. So like if you're going to do let's look at healthcare. Instead of trying to guess one company, which can be very difficult because all the people drop, is one of the things we did in ours, and I have a weekly up, I have a call where I do this, is break it into parts. Mm-hmm. Just like how you did words, break it into parts. So if you look at it for the even all of COVID, there's something called testing, right? There's companies that do testing, the Abbott Lab, different companies that do testing. Good. Then there's something called treatment. You know what I mean? Like Remdesivir or Regeneron. Yes. So then there's treatment. That means they're going to shorten the time that someone is in there and doing this. Yeah. Okay. And then there's the cure, right? Those are vaccines, right? Mm-hmm. You already saw the Pfizer, Moderna, the Johnson, mm-hmm. different companies. And there's over 200 companies that are trying to do certain things. So what you want to do is instead of trying to pick one, you know what? Get them all and diversify.
Great.
And then have a very specific strategy. And then one other strategy, one more I got to give you is we're all focused on COVID. What you need to focus on is that actually everyone's health. If someone has diabetes, they're also taking their medication. Let me speak on behalf of a Black woman here for a minute. Yeah. If they have, this is what I found out. If their husband or whatever, the first thing they do is get down in the morning and they go out and they say this, hey, take these, make sure you take your medicine. Mm-hmm. I don't want to brush, I want to say, no, take your medicine. And then, ladies, you can let me know why that's the case, but they say, because they don't want to, well, at least my wife, they don't want to go down to the hospital. So mm-hmm. they're having people, so they're taking all their medication. So just don't focus on COVID. I mean, what you do is you focus on all medication, all healthcare, mm-hmm. and doing that. So that's why, so what do we learn today? Diversification.
Yes.
And we learn how to dollar cost average put in monthly. But that's actually how you win long term. No, and have a strategy.
No, that's smart. And one of the things too, you mentioned it earlier in our conversation. I don't know if people caught it because this is something that I saw. You taught it years ago, but it's also in Millionaires in the Making. And that book is at least 15 years old, huh?
Yes.
Maybe older than, incredible. But in that book, you kind of talk about practical ways to actually select a stock. You know, just, I mean, it's just common sense, foolproof ways so that when you're making a decision like that, that you don't have a zeal that's not according to knowledge, that, you know, and you put it in layman's terms. So a person doesn't have to be, not saying that you don't need one. I think people do, but a person doesn't have to be a financial advisor to make wise decisions about how they're going to make some investment.
And that's a great example. And you know, I have a new book, I'm trying to do no plug, but I'm saying the wealth cycle. But hey, you said build a wealth machine, so I'm just talking about that, right?
Yeah.
But it's part of Ready, Set, Grow series. But see, this is my whole thing is this. Is that a lot of people came in during the pandemic. And you remember I said the different levels, struggling, sinking, steady, solid, surplus. Mm-hmm. Then what happens is some people went down a level. Mm-hmm. And some people may go down two levels if this keeps going. Mm-hmm. So what you can do is actually, but this is another thing I'm going to say. There's a lot of people we have planned that went the other way and have gone up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look at it right now. Just before, during this pandemic, what companies were going to do really, really well?
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody was using Clorox and all the different things. I was doing a call one day and I said, you know what? I'm going to open up a cleaning company and just make it Clorox cleans for when people go back to school or when they're open back up restaurants, they all have it. And then there's a company, I think it's Serpro, as if it never happened. They went out and started certifying places as being clean.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, hey, we're going to open up a business doing this. And my wife walked by while I was doing it. And she said, George, yeah. You can't, based on your history here in this house, you can't open up a cleaning company.
Yeah.
I was like, just based on that. I said, hey, honey, I was just going to be the supervisor.
Well, you know what, George? I think that's a great segue to something.
But look at the opportunities.
Yeah. I think that's a great segue to something else because, I mean, even though we've been talking about diversification in the context of like investing in the market, when you look at what you teach comprehensively and what you model in your own life, there's diversification in terms of the types of things you actually invest in. You invest in more than the market, you invest in real estate, et cetera. But I want to pivot in. I wanted to highlight that because I don't want people to think that we're just simply pointing to the market. However, there is something else that I feel like I want to hit a little bit and we can wrap up. And it's this. You mentioned it before. Hey, I thought about starting this company. I've started this company before. So I know you're an entrepreneur. I know you worked for a while, a very reputable and large financial firm, and you left and you started your own. And so I really feel like that's, I don't know, it's, I'm not gonna say it's a cultural trend. I'm glad it's becoming more of a cultural trend. That people are thinking entrepreneurially, et cetera. But let's just talk a little bit about that, right? Business building, entrepreneurship, and strategies, right? That that people can use to actually create more wealth through companies. I remember, like, this wasn't actually too long ago. This might have been like, well, I guess it was long ago. I don't know, maybe 5-6 years ago. You were like, all right, Darius, you need to think right now like Darius Inc. You said Darius Daniels no longer exists. You need to think and run your life and run everything like Darius Inc. So I know that's a huge part for you of your financial philosophy, business building also. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Right. And if you don't look at the way healthcare is going to be provided, look how tax code is changed, then you also want to do that. And Darius, man, you listen to that. You listen to everything I say.
I listen. Awesome.
I know. I'm impressed. But everybody say, just shout out your name and then Inc. Everyone listening, just shout out your name and Inc. That's actually what you want to do. You know, and that's actually what you want to start thinking like you're a company. Now, first of all, I used to tell people all the time, you're the greatest employee. There's no chance you'll get laid off, anything like that. But this is a pandemic now. Everybody done found out it's God. That you're supplied, that you may be working and you may not be working and doing that. So you want to do that. So the first thing is about entrepreneurship is wherever you work, don't quit right off the bat when you get the idea. Stay there. I stayed at that very large financial institution. And just so you know, we make money the old-fashioned way as well. There are statements in case you want to remember that. All right. So, but I stayed there for 10 years to the day. I collected all the stock options. When I go and search, like if your company offers stock, get as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
If I ever go to Starbucks, get a drink, I say that to them, buy the stock. Like my wife used to work. I tell them to buy, because that may be your seed money.
Good.
And coming back and doing that. Because there's certain ways, and we can go through seasons of this, but that'll be in a whole nother topic in a different day.
Yeah.
But I'm saying this is it. So first of all, work there, learn everything. I used to go, one time they had lunch served and they were showing how to run operations. And I was a financial advisor. I sat in a meeting and the lady goes like this, "Oh, you're here because it's free lunch?" I said, I laughed, said, "Yeah, that's fine." I sat right in the back of the room and wrote down everything because I said, one day I'm going to have to hire an operations manager. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to learn how to do it. Mm-hmm. So when you're in an organization, don't just focus on your job. Learn the other jobs because you're going to learn how to do them. Mm-hmm. And so you walk through them. One last nuggets and then we'll do this. Everybody hold up four fingers. When you run a business or entrepreneur, these are the four areas you have to learn how to run. And you'll have a successful business. If you run three of them, you'll do pretty good. If you do two of them, you'll just do average. That'll be a struggle. Mm-hmm. One, you'll be a well-kept secret. Number one, and these would be all VPs that you'd hire first. Number one, you have to have a marketing plan. So you're not a well-kept secret.
Facts.
The second thing that you have to have is operations. How you do it. Out here in California, they have something called In-N-Out. Those places are lines get their In-N-Out. I think
In-N-Out is overrated, by the way. So I'm gotcha. Sorry. Don't fight me.
No problem.
I'm just
saying. No problem. And people fighting this one. They said about voting. They said that they said Chick-fil-A should have done the vaccine and the voting, and everybody would have voted and had been the vaccine.
Right. I know.
So we'll see people like that. Right. But I'm saying whether you like them or not, their operation. I'll go a step further with you. McDonald's doesn't sell food. They sell convenience.
Yeah.
I'm talking about operations. You can go back and forth, but look at their stock price. Look at how long they've lasted. You can this say, out here in LA, you can say, I like TAM number four, but that's just around here.
Yeah.
Okay. So first is you want to have marketing. The second thing that you want to have is how you do the operation, how you make it do what it do. The third thing you want to have is new products and services. I'm just going to say it twice, new products and services. You look at companies, I'm just thinking of Starbucks, Apple, different companies. They come up with new products all the time.
Yes.
And then the fourth is you got to have a financial dashboard. So that you got to be able to look at how well your company is doing. If you were on an island and they can only send you that once a week, you'd know how well you were doing based on that dashboard for your company.
And George,
and
listen,
entrepreneurship.
This right here, this is free jewelry. It's jewelry. It's gems. And I think what you just distinguished with those four characteristics is the difference between a specialist and an entrepreneur. And I think there are people who are specialists who got a certain skill set and they can do a certain thing. That assume that makes me an entrepreneur. And it's like, no, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, you don't have to do all of those four things, but you got to be able to build that team. You got to be able to oversee them and you got to lead that team.
That's exactly. You got to find them.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And if you can't discover, develop and deploy that team, then, and it's nothing wrong with it, but it just means that a person hasn't become an entrepreneur yet. You're a specialist with a skill set.
Right.
You kind of do it for yourself.
And if you do everything, if you don't do those things, you'll only go to a certain level.
Yeah, yeah. Well, George, this has been absolutely incredible. I mean, the gems that have been dropped have been priceless, but this is what I know. I'm incredibly confident that people are looking and or listening right now and saying, okay, who is this guy? They're Googling, they're trying to figure out, how can I connect with him? How can I get some of his resources? Some people may be wondering, how can I utilize his services? George is my financial advisor. So, how can people get in contact with you?
Hey, just real simple, everybody. You guys can just go to computer, type in georgebthompson.com. Boom. There's my website. It shows that shows a lot of my, information, podcasts, things of that nature. Also, ThompsonWM.com is my financial planning firm that does all things about getting involved in investing walking down that path.
I love it. George, listen, thank you so much for being a part of this podcast. Our tribe is the better because you were here today, and thank you for investing in us. And we got to have you back real soon. George Thompson, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Well, listen, what an incredible interview by George Thompson. I hope it added some crazy value to your life. And I'm excited about the fruit that we're going to see in your life as a result, man, of of you managing and multiplying and maximizing that money. Well, listen, this part of the show is the Ask Dr. Darius section, and we want this to be an interactive show, man. And so each week, many of you send in questions. I feel like, I got updated before this show. This season, we've got more questions we've ever gotten, and we're really excited about that and glad to try to answer some of these. And hey, we're about to move into bringing some of you on the show via Zoom to answer your questions in person. And so we've got the ball rolling. We're moving strategically to get that going. So stay on the lookout. Some of you are going to get an email for us inviting you to do just that. And don't forget to send in your questions to podcast@dariusdaniels.com. We got a few questions that we're going to answer this week. Chastity, we're starting with you. Let's go.
Yes. So I have a question from John. John wants to know, do you have any book recommendations for leaders who are new to leadership and managing teams?
So, John, yes, I do have a couple of book recommendations, but the first thing I want to say is this. If you are already in leadership, you're in the thick of it. And so this means you need some immediate information that's going to add immediate value. Mm-hmm. Now, in the 80s, the only way you could get that probably was a book. Mm-hmm. We're not mm-hmm. in the 80s anymore. So you don't have to read 200 pages, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, in order to get some information that's going to help increase your leadership acumen and raise your leadership lid. So what I recommend to people who are right in the thick of it, yeah, there are a couple of books I'm going to mention that can help you. But I'm like, you got YouTube, mm-hmm. you got podcasts, and you can get some stuff in a 30-minute podcast mm-hmm. that you couldn't get in a book. It would take you 2 or 3 weeks to read. I'm just telling you straight up now, the game has changed. Now, I'm a reader. I'm not saying don't read. But I think if you're in the thick of it and you're a new leader, man, you need access to immediate information because you don't have time to read 12 books. Mm-hmm. You could have been you're going to mismanage people. You're going to fumble opportunities. You're going to create negative culture waiting that long to learn. So here's some podcasts I listen to. I listen to the Craig Groeschel Leadership Podcast. I listen to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast. I listen to the Kerry Newhoff Leadership Podcast. I listen to Entree Leadership. I listen to that podcast. Those are probably some of the four that are in my wheelhouse. And I listen to other podcasts that help me with self-leadership. I interviewed him on the show. He's going to be a guest coming up. But if you're not familiar with John Acuff, you slipping. I'm telling you right now. And so he helps me with self-leadership. So that's some of my recommendations. But go to books that I feel like every leader needs to read. Here is one. John Maxwell, The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. Got to start there. Peter Scazzaro's The Emotionally Healthy Leader. I recommend that second because no matter what other leadership book you read, if you're not emotionally healthy, you're not going to pull the trigger. Mm-hmm. We can give you all the guidance and the principles, but you can't put them into practice if your soul's not healthy. And then another, this is also a great book. It's by Andy Stanley. It's called The Next Generation Leader. And none of these guys are asking me to pump or promote their stuff. These are just things that have added value to my life. So I could talk all day on that. You need a leadership development plan. What are you doing daily? What are you doing weekly? What are you doing periodically to raise your leadership lid? But I'm actually working on something that we're going to be releasing soon that's really going to help leaders if they want some mentorship from me in that area.
I love it.
Dakari.
All right, this question.
You own Dick.
Yeah, this question comes from Reggie from Ohio. It's a very light question. Reggie says, what's the most embarrassing thing you've ever worn?
Worn?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know. I don't think I got to go all the way back to, I don't even want to talk about this, Dakari, because I don't know how you're going to manage this information. You might use this against me at a later time. But I got to go all the way back to like high school or junior. I can't remember when it was. Boys to Men, I don't know if this is before your time. Boys to Men made popular ties and so there was like shirt and tie and jeans mm-hmm. and shirt and tie and shorts. And one day I wore some shorts. And I don't know what they call them now. Back in my day, they call them Daisy Dukes.
Huh? You had on Dukes?
You know that? Yeah, look at that girl with them Daisy Dukes on.
I want you to.
Yeah. So they weren't quite Daisy Dukes, but they was in the vicinity. So that was, and so I remember my friends, I always grew up around truth tellers. My friends tore me up that day. I said, man, you got some Daisy Dukes on?
Did you have
some Daisy
shoes?
Dukes to school? Nah, it's like tennis shoes.
Oh, okay.
It would just be ties, jeans, and tennis shoes.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, but it wasn't Daisy Dukes. There's no photos, so no sense you're trying to research this. But that's probably the most embarrassing.
And you had the nerve to mess me about Peloton shorts.
I knew I shouldn't have told you that information.
Wow.
I should have kept that to myself.
Yeah.
I don't like doing that because you say that. Now people, I know y'all are listening to this. This image is coming to your head. You're like, you had on what?
Pastor was in what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look.
All right. Next question, please.
Yeah, because I got one that's not about this. So this question is from Martin. Dr. Darius, what would you say is the likelihood of you starting a live mentorship group for people who found value in your ministry and are called to be kingdom leaders themselves?
Martin, it's not likely. It's happening.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's happening. It's already in the works. And so that's something we're working on. And we're actually going to be releasing soon. I was actually going to release it in a couple of weeks, but we're releasing something else. And so we're pushing it back. And yeah, but we got a name for it. We got a strategy for it. I know the areas that I'm gonna coach and mentor people in, and I'm really more excited about that. I got a lot going on.
We know.
You know, we're putting a church in Atlanta in the fall, and I'm excited about all of that. But nothing excites me more than throwing my life into people, because I know you get the greatest return in investing your energy when you throw it into people.
Yeah.
People building. So that's my thing. So I'm more excited about this live mentorship thing than I am anything else.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're launching another round of EDS in, I think, this summer or something along those lines.
Big things popping.
But this mentorship thing, I really get to.
It's gonna be dope.
It's gonna be dope. And
hey, you mentioned y'all playing a church in Atlanta. For the people who may not watch on Sundays, they may have missed the announcement.
Yeah. We've been praying about it and planning for it actually for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Well, a few years actually, praying about it and strategizing for it. And here's my thing. I feel like, not trying to over-spiritualize something, I'm responsible for obedience. God's responsible for outcomes.
That's good.
So I don't come into a situation saying, oh, we're about to take the city and we're about to kill. I don't know what's about to happen. But I do know, I feel like we're supposed to be here. I do know, I feel like we've got great momentum and energy. I do know we had an amazing response to the announcement. I don't know. I don't want to like numbers drop, but it was a bunch of people that signed up for that text list. It was a bunch of people. So I don't know what all of that means, but yeah, we're doing it and people can look forward to some stuff popping off.
Yeah.
You know?
So you guys make sure that you, if you read in the comment section, we'll make sure that we put the number there for you guys to text if you want to be a part.
No doubt. Yeah. If you want to stay in the loop and know what's going on. But listen, thank you guys so much for sending your questions. Hey, y'all, I'm looking forward to when we can actually Zoom some people in.
I know.
It's going to be so fun. I'm excited.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We just want them to be safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Clothed. Mm-hmm. You know, all of that.
Amen.
But it's going to be great. Hey. Don't stop sending us your questions. We're getting as many of them as we can. Email them to podcast@dariusdaniels.com. And who knows, maybe we'll be answering your question next right here on the Darius Daniels Podcast. Amazing show today, guys. Thank you. Shout out to the co-hosts, Nikari and Chastity, for the value that y'all add. And thank you for watching and listening. You help me a lot. When you like this, when you download it, when you share it, we want to help as many people as possible. We believe in edutainment. We believe in conversations for your transformation. And that's what this podcast is all about. So thank you for your support. We'll see you next week right here on the Darius Daniels Podcast.
You're listening to the Darius Daniels Podcast.